So here we are, after a month off, we're back for February.
Yeah.
How's it feel to be out in the crisp February air?
It's quite mild, actually.
It's really mild, yeah. Not so much a cold open, a balmy open.
Not anymore. So we went to check out Durham Old Gardens today?
We did. And of course, they were still closed. They don't open until the spring properly sets in. But you can still walk around a little bit of the grounds and see what's going to happen when the spring finally comes.
You might get more of the river then.
I love finding these little secret spots. There's a footbridge here that neither of us have ever seen before, I don't think.
No, I've never been down this way at all. It's just behind Maiden Castle to the south of Durham.
And just as you come out of the Orchard of Durham Old Gardens, you see this beautiful brick footbridge that has probably seen better days, but
it looks a bit decaying, doesn't it?
But that is so within the feel of winter, and especially February.
It's quite bleak down here. No leaves on the trees.
Very bleak. I actually would call this bleak winter. So if December is cozy winter.
Yeah, February can be pretty bleak.
I feel like the month of January, which we took a little hiatus for, is probably defined with a lot of hope. You know, the resolutions and the clean slate and all of that. And then by February, sort of getting into the new flow of the year, and maybe some of those resolutions have hit the wayside, but the resolutions that have really stuck start to make a big difference in your life at this point. So maybe February, even though it's bleak, is actually just a little bit more hopeful than January actually is. What were some of your resolutions for this year?
I think one of them was to dance a bit more.
Dancing is good. Dancing is always good.
Yeah. Read a bit more.
Read, definitely.
Read more books.
I always wanted to emphasize getting out more in the winter. That's always much harder, I think, to be outside because it's so cold and people are afraid of getting sick and all of those winter things that'll keep you inside. But coming out for winter walkies, as we call them, I think definitely improved the mood.
Bridge. Yeah, didn't it? Looks like there used to be a bridge just there.
Oh, yeah. I think because that one was made of wood, it probably didn't last as well as the brick one.
No, it's...
But even the brick one doesn't look too great at this point.
Looks like you can go over it.
Yeah. Shall we give it a try?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where it goes.
Do we go up the scary steep bit, or do we go around?
I'll go up that way.
Something we get in the UK in February that you don't get in the United States is the crocuses. Crocuses don't turn up until March or April, pretty much everywhere in the States. But here in England, especially in Durham, you know, you get those beautiful pale purple crocuses coming up in mid-February.
Gap down here.
Well, that's very cute.
Used to be a railroad or just a normal road.
Do you think? Should we give it a look?
This whole bit clearly was here for something, right? This looks like maybe a road was going this way and then a bridge ran over the top.
You were saying earlier that it's kind of amazing how close everything is if you drew a straight line.
Yeah.
And because we've come around to the back of Maiden Castle from an opposite way than we normally would have done.
Right from the north of Durham.
And we just see how close they actually are. It's entirely possible that a road did run through here.
Yeah.
To make exactly that trip much easier, but
over time it's just been disused and replaced with
exactly
bigger roads elsewhere.
Shall we go over that bridge?
Yeah.
So we are now on top of the mysterious brick footbridge, and it's so clear that this used to be some kind of route all the way through southeast of Durham, where of course now you can just cycle, you can jog, walk. And of course, we're sharing this path with all three of those people.
It's a good, yeah, people clearly turn that into a little jogging route, haven't they?
In fact, I think I've been over this route.
Maybe this is a classic.
It's down here, the part where I've been over. I love this that we're exploring these paths we've never seen before from this angle.
But in very familiar locations, really.
Just trying to orient yourself.
Places you walk past very regularly or drive past, but not from this angle.
Not from this angle. I like that. I wonder if we can bring a little bit of that into our podcast for this month, looking at things from new angles.
Yeah, new year.
New year, new angles. You're trying to reevaluate with some resolutions, approaching things you've done 100 times with a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah, that's a good theme.
Yeah, I like it. Welcome. You're listening to Panacea, a podcast for the seasons. I am your host, Sarah Rosen, and usually with me is our producer, Owen John Lloyd-Jones. But this month, it's just you and me in the studio. February and this time of year always represented a few conflicting ideas and feelings, at least for me. Of course, it starts off with Groundhog Day, that midwinter mark. Hopefully, only 6 more weeks of that cold weather. So you still got a long chunk of that winter to go, but there's always that promise of spring coming. But even with that promise of spring and the hope that a lot of us experience during the new year, February is usually very bleak. It's usually very gray, almost brutal winds. Last year, we had a huge snowstorm in the United Kingdom. We called it the Beast from the East. Of course, I think a lot of Americans, especially from where I'm from in New York, would sort of laugh that this was considered a big snowstorm. But, you know, a foot of snow in England is enormous. So last year, February was sort of defined by this monster blizzard. And now February this year is going to be remembered for this heat wave that we've had. It's been very mild, and normally in February, at least in the United Kingdom, you do get the first flowers. You get the snowdrops, and you get these pale purple crocuses that are absolutely beautiful. Sometimes you'll get the earliest cherry trees blossoming. Those white blossoms start to emerge in February. But because we've had this heat wave, all of the crocuses and even some daffodils are now blooming, and it's really just the end of February now. So we do get a lot of contradictory feelings in this month. You have the fact that you're only halfway through winter, but you do have the promise of spring. So even if you do have those big snowstorms, you have those brutal winds and those cold temperatures, you still have the hope of those first flowers and maybe even some mild weather to enjoy. As you heard me and Owen talking about in the cold open, we like to re-examine our resolutions in February. We've chosen what we wanted to do in January, but how well have we really stuck with it? How much of a difference is it going to make in our lives? I think that's a question most people ask themselves when they hit February. Like Owen was saying, he wanted to read more, and we certainly both wanted to dance more, which is something we do together. Have we done enough of that? Well, I think this episode is a really good place to explore that. And as we took this walk, which we also like to do in the winter just to get outside and be in nature and just avoid that cabin fever a little bit, you know, as we saw, as we did this walk through an area we only usually see from one side, we were able to see it from an entirely new angle and appreciate just how close some of the things are to each other in Durham that we hadn't realized before. So while we thought we were in a completely new place, in reality, it connected up beautifully with the places we had already been. So we learned a little new secrets and saw hidden gems in a place we thought we knew really well. So sometimes just changing your perspective a little bit will lead to amazing discoveries. So Owen and I decided to roll with it, this idea of the new angle of changing our perspectives just a little bit to see if we can find new appreciation for the things we've done. And then for the new things we get to try, what are the different angles we can appreciate from the beginning? This episode of Panacea will only have 2 chapters, which is fitting, mostly because February is the shortest month. 28 days in February, 2 chapters for the February episode. But we hope that these 2 chapters manage to capture this feeling of February, this midwinter, bleak, sometimes brutally cold, then on the opposite side, this turning point, this hopefulness, looking at things from new angles. In chapter 1, Owen and I will explore this first resolution that we wanted to try to do more of, which is dancing. And for chapter 2, I actually turned back a little bit to my past to explore this resolution of wanting to read more, but a good friend of mine from high school has now become somewhat of a poet and has agreed to share some of her work with us today. And I think it captures very beautifully this idea of looking at things in a new way, appreciating a different perspective, even if that perspective is maybe not something that brings you joy, but still broadens your understanding. So, without further ado, Chapter 1. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. What most listeners won't know about Owen and I is that we're actually swing dancers. And if you wanted to check us out, all you'd have to do is turn on BBC One because we were part of their iDent series. So if you've ever seen any swing dancers on the BBC One iDent, Owen and I are in there. Try to find us. But swing dancing is something that we really, really enjoy. It brings us together. It brings us closer to people that we have become friends with. It allows us to hone a skill and take pride in that. And it's also really good exercise. So it's a beautiful combination of ideas people tend to gravitate towards when thinking about a New Year's resolution. For those of you who don't know, swing dancing is a form of partner dance. So there's a lead dancer and a follow dancer. So considering this, we thought not only would swing dancing be a good resolution to have for the new year, but also a great way for couples to come a little bit closer together, as February also is the month of Valentine's Day. And we definitely want to talk about those feelings and those activities that relate to Valentine's Day as well. So if your resolution was to get a little bit more active, to get out a little bit more, to meet new people, to get closer to people you already know, even if it's just to try something new, and you also have a partner that you want to become close to, and you want to do something romantic with, then swing dancing is absolutely the way to go. And to tell us a little bit more about it, I have our Lindy Hop teacher and good friend Esther talk to us in this first interview. So, how about let's start with your name?
My name is Esther.
And for our listeners who have no idea, what exactly is swing dance?
So, there are lots of different kinds of swing dance. The style that I do is called Lindy Hop.
And when did Lindy Hop originate?
Lindy Hop originated in the 1920s. Frankie Manning is a name who is kind of revered in the Lindy Hop community as the kind of godfather of this kind of style of dance. Yeah, and a lot of different other swing styles emerged around a similar time based on like size of floor space and where it originated. Like there were a lot of smaller dances based on halls that would charge by the dance, and so you had to cram people on the floor so it's smaller to make more money. And then when you have more space, you can do bigger things like Lindy Hop.
Great. So we're here tonight at Swing Time, at which you teach sometimes at. So you didn't teach tonight, but you did teach earlier in the month. So what is teaching like? What is it like teaching Lindy Hop?
Teaching Lindy Hop is very different from dancing. I know that sounds like a really obvious thing to say. I found it really hard to start with because I felt like I only started getting better as a dancer when I was able to shut my brain off and just go with it naturally. For teaching, you kind of have to do the opposite and switch your brain back on and notice exactly why you do everything you do and how you respond to your partner and why you respond to your partner in that way. So it is bizarre in that sense, and it takes quite a while to get your head in, or it did for me at least. But it's really interesting being able to break it down in that way and try different moves and also try different techniques. Everyone does everything differently as well. So it's not like we're saying this is a right thing to do or this is a wrong thing to do. But this is, well, sometimes we are. But with things like moves, it's like this is something you can try.
You're allowed to be creative.
Exactly. The whole point is to be creative. So we're like, this is something we think is cool. You might prefer this other way you do it. And you might make a mistake that actually is cooler. And that's always really fun because then you can play it like you did it on purpose.
That's a great insight, really.
It's the best, yeah.
So what can somebody expect if they were to come to a Lindy Hop lesson at Swing Time?
If you come to a Lindy Hop lesson, I guess the main thing to expect is that you will dance with everybody. You meet everybody. I think a lot of people sometimes get a bit intimidated that to come to a dance class for the first time, you maybe have to come with a partner, or like you have to know what you're doing at least a bit. But the way that we do things at Swing Time, you dance with everybody throughout the class. It's a partner dance. So you pick which role you're going to dance quite early on, and then we rotate around throughout the class. So you meet everybody, you dance with everybody, so there's no pressure to impress a particular person, do anything right. You get, you know, 20 people to try something on. So if you do it wrong with them, they don't know you've done it wrong 20 times before. So that's always quite nice.
So I have to admit to any listeners that I've been doing swing dance for a long time here with Swing Time. Mm-hmm. And I would say the environment is very forgiving. It is.
Yes.
Very encouraging. And so would this be something that you would recommend to maybe a couple who would like to try something new, to do something together, then also meet new people?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's great if you want to come with a partner, because it's something that you can learn to do together, but then you also do get to explore a little bit more and meet other people as well. And it's a way to meet other people together without it necessarily being a couple meeting, you know, one person. You get a variety of people to meet, and it's a really fun experience, and it's different every week as well. So it's not like once you've done it. No, every single week.
You always learn.
Yeah, there's always something new to learn, always something new to try or experiment with, something fun.
So I kind of like that, because not only is it something you can do with a partner, it is something that could really be looked at as a New Year's resolution.
Mm.
So tying it to the beginning of the year, and also, you know, the month of February, the month of couples, right?
Yeah,
definitely take on a new activity where you could learn something new every time you come.
Mm-hmm.
Get to do that with your partner and meet new people. I think that's the best.
Yeah, it's particularly, a lot of people I've spoken to who do this have said that it's really helped them with getting out of their comfort zone as well. I think it can be, once you leave things like school and university, it can be tricky to meet a large group of people that aren't just people at work and things. And if you come to something like this, you know you're going to meet nice, welcoming people every week. And there's always someone new there and someone that you've met before. So it's kind of familiar and new. So it's kind of constantly giving you something maybe slightly outside of what you already know, but also then very quickly feels familiar.
So you also do some teaching with Newcastle University for their Swing Society.
Yes, sometimes.
Is that different than Swing Tine? And can listeners maybe go to that as well? Or is it a...
It's very similar, really, to Swing Tine. The two who are the main teachers at the Uni Swing Society are also teachers with Swing Tine. So it is a similar atmosphere, because it's a similar kind of philosophy to teaching. And it's not all students who go. Like, a lot of people who come to Swing Tine who aren't students also go to the Swing Society. So it really does have a similar feel. It's just less likely to be in a bar, which is where we tend to gravitate. Yeah, no, it is very similar. So it's on a different day of the week.
Perfect. So if you can't do one day, you can do the other.
Exactly. So it's a slightly different group of people. So you'll have different kinds of classes. You could try, maybe you'd have Charleston on a Wednesday, and then you'd have some Lindy on a Thursday, or whatever it is that week. But it really is quite similar in atmosphere.
So I guess I have just one more question, which I always say, and then I always think of another question, but I think it's just the one. What is your favorite dance move in Lindy Hop of all time?
Oh, that's such an unfair question, because there are so many. I guess it's a really, it's not a new answer in any way, shape, or form. I would probably have to say the swing out.
It's a classic.
It's Lindy Hop bread and butter, but also one of the coolest things that you can do. And I think the reason it's my favorite is because there is no one way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can never get bored of this move, because there are 100 different ways to do it, and then also things to add on to the end of it.
And then you combine all of those things and you get 100 new ways to do it.
Exactly. So. And one of my absolute favorite things in Lindy Hop is when you get a really good connection with your partner and you just have that moment where it just feels amazing. And that, in a swing out, is one of the best feelings. Because you get that real tension. And it's something that you really do together as well. So when you both nail it, you have that moment of just like, you look at each other and you're like, ah, yes.
Perfect.
That was perfect. It's never going to happen again. And it was great. Yeah. So I think that.
And like I said, of course, I've come up with one last thing that I guess, in terms of like that lead follow connection that you were just talking about, which we skipped over at the beginning, but of course Lindy Hop's a partner dance.
Mm-hmm.
I find that, you know, Swing Tine and I assume Newcastle, but the swing dance scene in general tends to be very open about who's leading and who's following, so there's a lot of flexibility to switch and step out of your comfort zone even more so than you'd think. So there's always something new, and anybody should really feel comfortable coming in and giving it a try.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you go back historically with that lead and follow aspect of it, typically the lead would be the man and the follow would be the woman. But that's not the way that we do things necessarily anymore. So you really can choose whichever role you want. And a lot of people here will do both. Some people will pick one and stick with it, and that's what they like. But there are a lot of people who, like there are a lot of women here, who have learned as a follow, are very experienced follows, and are now learning to be leads. I'm in beginner's lead at the minute, and it's very strange to start again on the other role. There are a lot of men here as well who are learning to follow, so it's a really welcoming space to try new things. And even if, you know, maybe you've been doing it for a couple of years and you feel really experienced in one role, you can still go and be a complete beginner in the other one, making a fool of yourself if you need to, and it's fine because you're learning something new.
Thank you so much for talking with me this evening. And we better go catch another dance.
Yes, let's go.
Find out more about swing dancing with Swing Tyne at www.swingtyne.com. Take a look at our frequently asked questions and videos, and we do hope to see you at some swing dancing later on. Chapter 2: Dispersion of Light. I first met Crystal Young, who is the poet we're going to feature in this next chapter, in high school. It must have been our first year together, and I guess the thing that really brought us together, as well as all the other friends we made, was that we always loved hanging out outside of the library. For whatever reason, that was the spot we all congregated, and it probably had something to do with the fact we were all book lovers and all had these creative writing passions and aspirations, and I think all of us have pursued it in some way. I, of course, went on a slightly different route, but Crystal has stuck with it. She likes to call herself an almost poet, but I think that's silly. She is absolutely 100% a poet. She has an MFA in creative writing, she has a BA in English literature, and another MA in language and literacy. She's been published, she does freelance editing for places like Scholastic, and she serves as a poetry committee chairwoman for the prison writing program, which I think is absolutely fantastic, and I am so proud to call this person my friend, even though, you know, it's been since high school since we really spoke. But I'm so happy to be able to feature her today. And she has gone ahead and recorded us two poems, which she selected knowing our theme of a new angle, looking at things from a new perspective. And I think it's just been beautifully done. So here they are: Dispersion of Light and Economy of Feeling.
Dispersion of Light. In physics, different frequencies of light waves will bend varying amounts upon passage through a prism. This is a phenomenon known as dispersion of light. Your father has looked past you at your shadow, wishing it would dig you your grave. He feeds it some of your parts, reels hours of video footage of a younger you before you veered off course. In this, he is the primordial prism, and you an angle of deviation, divisible, incalculable. There are photographs of you years before in a red silk dress, with hair black as his, black as iron and wires, with no possibilities of disaster. You move closer to the plane, one that touches the aorta of his calcified heart, and all at once it is gone, ashes. It is here, as the shadow skirts the sun overhead, you learn some things that died cannot be revived with neither flood nor fire. Contrapuntal music is composed of multiple independent melodies that are sounded together. In the same vein, this contrapuntal poem can be read in many ways, but I'll be offering two ways of reading it. Economy of Feeling. Sometimes I feel like a list of inconsequential things, spoken as a poem, a question mark, or a soft suggestion to heal between breaths. It's queer and full of curves, to tattoo something temporary into the empty brackets of a mouth. Even stranger, asking the hand that had hurt you to hold you once again, to summon courage to cross a border of uncertainty, and finding water on Mercury, brave enough to own your own queer name that cuts your enemies' tongues in half, to be a lone midnight wolf, arrogant enough to swallow the moon, and your liver dares to hold on a bit longer. Sometimes I feel like a question mark. It's queer and full of curves. Even stranger to summon courage, brave enough to be a lone midnight wolf. A list of inconsequential things. Or a soft suggestion to tattoo something temporary. Asking the hand that had hurt you to cross a border of uncertainty, to own your own queer name, arrogant enough to swallow the moon. Spoken as a poem, to heal between breaths, into the empty brackets of a mouth, to hold you once again, and finding water on Mercury that cuts your enemy's tongues in half, and your liver dares to hold on a bit longer.
There's something really beautiful about poetry that can be read in many ways and reveal entirely new feelings and thoughts and interpretations. While it's such a gift to be able to hear the poet themselves read you the poem in at least a couple of ways that they would interpret it, it is a little bit of a shame that we are totally audio in this context. There are many clever ways in which poets will use the words on the page to represent these different possibilities and different angles that you can approach their poetry from. Something that you won't know about Crystal, because we're of course entirely audio on a podcast, is that she has this beautiful turquoise hair. And I think I've seen it a few different colors over the years, but right now it is a bright blue-green turquoise. And when you know that, you start to connect to dispersion of light on a really profound level. You start to really understand where she's coming from as a writer, but you're still able to apply your own experiences to that dynamic. I think it's a beautiful image to think of our connections with people as light passing through a prism. Or in some cases, you are the prism which people's thoughts and emotions pass through and turn into something completely different. And as we are in this month of deep winter, of deep bleak winter, it's nice to think about how our perspectives will start to change in this time of transition. Crystal and I are going to have a chat in March and post the content on our social media page, so do keep an eye out on Instagram and on Facebook for more about Crystal Young and her poetry. Our February episode has now come to an end, so we'd like to leave you by saying Happy Groundhog's Day, Happy Valentine's Day, and keep an eye out for those early signs of spring. Everyone who works on Panacea hopes that you move forward into March, arrogant and courageous enough to swallow the moon. This has been Panacea, a podcast for the seasons. I am your host, Sarah Rosen, and our producer is Owen John Lloyd-Jones. A huge thank you to our contributors this month, our wonderful Lindy Hop teacher from Swing Tine and Newcastle Swing Society, Esther Fern, and our poet contributor, Crystal Young. If you'd like to hear what we were working on in January, if you happen to be interested in things like archaeology and anthropology, especially how these disciplines deal with ideas of death, do give our new podcast a listen. It's called Remains of the Day and can be found wherever you listen to your podcasts. A little bit of a warning, that podcast is not particularly suitable for young listeners as we delve into some pretty deep conversations. For our next episode, we're going to be covering some Nordic walking you can participate in and some local flower growers and how they deal with the early flowers of spring. This has been Panacea.